Welcome to Riley on Film. I'm your host, Damian Riley. You can find out more and subscribe for free always at RileyOnFilm.com. Now, on with the show. Be advised, this is a walkthrough episode and it will contain spoilers. Jugface is an independent horror film that I think transcends its costs and is a really great movie that all horror fans should definitely check out. It came out in 2013, and Internet Movie Database has it down as a 5.2 out of 10 with 6,250 people rating it, which pretty much tells you that's accurate. I will say, though, because it has an independent film look to it, there's a possibility that some people may just grade it down because of that. There's also sort of an assaulting of religion in this film, which I think is definitely warranted the way it's done, attacking a certain type of religion that some people hold. No matter what their faith is, there's this type of religion that is very damaging to other people, and that's what it's kind of assaulting. So it's a good message there, even for a horror film. But I also fear that some people may rate it down because of that as well, because that they may not really understand what it's saying. I think you can be religious and get it, but that's what it has here. It's rated R. It does have some gore, it has sexual situations, and it has a bit of violence, but nothing that isn't necessary to tell the story, which, again, I think is a great moral. It's 1 hour 21 minutes, so it fits under what I call the modest amount of time. I say 1 hour 30 is a modest amount of time. Movies that go over that, especially independent films, are kind of pushing it, and they're expecting a lot from their viewers. Maybe they haven't earned yet, but this one definitely earns it and comes in under the wire of what I call the humble amount.
The pit has spoken. It is an honor to be chosen to be with it in this world. You know that. But without the blood, the waters, the pit would heal no one.
I want to see if you've been fooling around before you shame all of us.
Pit'll make it right. It always does.
Has the pit ever taken a baby?
They're gonna test you. And you better blame it on somebody else. I don't care who.
Now, Dwight is going to search his place again. And if he does not find a jug face, well, then we wait. We wait until the pit guides his hand to make another.
What if the face I see ain't the right one?
Never been wrong before, have you?
What did you do?
You think you can just turn your back on us?
Clarice!
You all right?
It's all my fault.
Whose blood is that?
Ada didn't tell you.
Tell me what?
Do all!
It wants what it wants.
This film is listed as drama, horror, thriller. And I'd say definitely it's drama, a little bit of thriller, and definitely a horror. And it's exciting. to see a horror that's done this way, that has a good message, plus it takes you to those forbidden places that are quite scary. While Jugface is an independent film, if you look on the cover, you can see that it has won some awards. It has a picture on the cover of a woman with white eyes, which is pretty scary. And when you look at Jugface as the title, you're tempted to think this is a comedy or this is silly, but it's not. It's a very serious horror film, and Jugface has meaning. You have a member of the community who makes jugs with people's faces on them, and these are used to determine who the witch is or who the undesirable is in the community. Sound familiar? Salem Witch Trials? Christianity, going way, way back, has used methods of singling people out, figuring out who, quote, the devil is in the room, and that has caused lots of problems through the years, especially for the devils in the room. I'm pretty sure this film is available lots of places, but you can get it rented for $2.99, 48 hours, on Prime Video. Sometimes they let you keep it for 3 days. So what's it about? Well, Jugface tells the story of a pregnant teen trying to escape a backwoods community when she discovers that she may be sacrificed to a creature in a pit. And haven't we seen through time how a religious town can seize upon a young, thin woman that has no ability to defend herself? She's young. She doesn't have any mental ability to defend herself because she doesn't know what's happening, and yet the stronger members of the religious cult decide that she has to go, that she has to be sacrificed, in this case, to the pit. And the pit becomes sort of like a demon or even an evil god. Our director is Chad Crawford Kinkle, and he's done a few things. Let's take a look. He is known for The Gingerbread Man from 1998, which I have not seen, but looks rather interesting. And if it's a horror, I may check that one out. Organ Grinder and Dementor. So he's worked on a lot of stuff. The direction that he's done has been Jugface, Organ Grinder, and Dementor, among others. He's also the writer of this film, which is very original. The story is a lot of things we've seen before, like I said, religiosity taken to an extreme, taking advantage of young women. We see that a lot, believe it or not, in religion. And we are also looking at something else that he did. He did this Organ Grinder, which is a short. So those are his two writing experiences. To be honest with you, I'm really surprised that I don't see more, because I think that this is an amazing film. He was nominated as Best Screenplay for Jugface as the Freaky Award at the Freak Show Horror Film Festival. Again, his name is Chad Crawford Kinkle. I hope to see more from Mr. Kinkle. Looks like he has, in 2018, a movie called Dementor, but I'm not sure this film's actually been released. What? Oh, it's, if you open the back of my car, okay. It's in a white bag in there. Sure. Jugface stars Lauren Ashley Carter, who is really, a creepy actor, but like in a good way. And she's known for Premium Rush, Imitation Girl, and Jugface, most of all. But she's a really good actor. She's really cute, and she's able to pull this this role off, which I don't know that just any actress could. Shawn Bridgers is in this, and he plays a very important role. He is the sheriff that is causing all the problems. And actually, wait a minute, let me rewind on that. He might not be the sheriff here. Make sure I get the right guy. While I'm looking that up, The Woman. He is in The Woman. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that's a really interesting film about a woman who is basically taken advantage of. This film has a really odd plot, but like I said, it, I think, has a great message. And it contains all the elements of a spooky horror film, which are the best ones, in my opinion. An eerie film gives you that sort of oogly feeling. That's the kind of horror film that I like. And this film definitely carries that banner. So, it's like a backwoods community, and they worship this pit. And this pit is like God. Apparently it has healing powers. Now, does it really have healing powers? That's sort of up to the viewer to decide. Dewey creates jugs of faces from clay, and when a jug portrays the face of a member of the community, that person must be sacrificed to the creature that lives in the pit. Well, isn't this just a wonderfully neighborly thing to do? And this guy who makes the jugs really would be the one most guilty, I think, for all the murders. Ada, who has been having sex with her brother Jessaby, finds her own face on Dewey's latest jug. Scared, she hides the jug and keeps it a secret. That makes sense. Who wants to go into a pit and die that way? Ada is arranged to be joined to a boy from another family, Bodhi. Later, Ada discovers that she is pregnant. Oh, now it's all so complicated. While she is with Bodhi's sister, Eileen, Ada has a vision of Eileen's death, and the creature later kills Eileen. Worried that they have angered the creature, the community questions Dewey, who claims to be ignorant of whether there's a missing jug, as he creates them while under a trance. The townspeople become frustrated with Dewey and demand that he search for any potentially missing jugs. Ada meets with Dewey, and she suggests that he create a new one from memory. Ada's mother, Loris, inspects her to see if she is a virgin. Lovely inspection. And Ada claims to have broken her own hymen. Loris punishes Ada, who later informs Jessaby that she is pregnant. So at this point, you start having empathy, but this town is so odd and so strange, it's kind of hard to know what you feel exactly. The following day, the community gathers around the pit as Dewey presents his latest jug with the face of Bodhi, who is sacrificed. Ada visits her sickly grandfather and sees a vision of an emaciated boy, who explains that her grandfather hid his wife's jug face the same as she did, and the community poisoned her grandfather as a punishment. Jessaby tells Sustin, his father, that he is sick, so they go to the pit to heal him. Ada has a vision of Jessaby getting killed. The vision comes true. As it seems, Dewey has failed again in interpreting the pit's desires. He is severely punished by the community and tied beside the pit to be taken. Ada breaks Dewey free, and they run off. However, the two are caught, brought back, and punished. Assuming that it is Dewey with whom Ada had a relationship, Ada is whipped, miscarries her child, and then reveals to her parents that it was her brother's baby. Ada has a vision of her father's death, and the creature kills him. She reveals to everyone that she was the missing jug face, and all the deaths are her fault. Her mother ties her up beside Dewey next to the pit. The shunned boy and Ada's grandfather appear and free her from the ropes, but she will not leave because she knows Dewey will be killed. The next morning, Ada's mother finds her free of her ropes but kneeling beside the pit. Ada apologizes and is sacrificed. The film ends as Dewey lights a candle next to his jug face of Ada. This may not sound like a really good film, but it actually was, in my opinion. Very good horror film, very good thoughtful human nature film. And now for a bonus second review, movie I saw a few nights ago called The Beach Bum. It's a 2019 American stoner comedy film. That's right, I said stoner comedy film. Written and directed by Harmony Korine. The plot follows the adventures of Moondog, played by Matthew McConaughey, and he is hilarious in this, a rebellious burnout who only knows how to live life by his own rules. Snoop Dogg, Isla Fisher, Zac Efron, Jimmy Buffett, Martin Lawrence, and Jonah Hill also star. I can say all those pretty much fit with me except for two people. Well, actually a lot of them don't fit. Jimmy Buffett, Jonah Hill does kind of fit in this stoner film. Martin Lawrence doesn't fit. Zac Efron doesn't fit. But everybody else fits. Snoop Dogg. And then, of course, Isla Fisher doesn't fit. So it's weird. It's like most of them don't fit.
One day I will swallow up the world. And when I do, I hope you all perish violently.
Is that the motherfucking moon dog?
Moon dog.
Moon dog.
Now you look like shit.
Yeah, I look like I always look.
You have pissed away your talent on women and booze and...
Now you're talking. That's what feeds the juices up here in my nugget, man.
I get all these things going. I start to hear music. The world's reverberating back and forth, and I hit the frequency. And I start to dance to it, and my fingers get moving. I'm spinning all over the fucking place. And the fucking words come out.
Stops now. The foolishness.
You gotta publish your novel.
And if you mess this up, it's jail time.
Wish me luck. I'm off to write the next great American novel. We may have a gangbang when I get back. I will invite your mother.
Thank you, Mr. Moondog.
I'm trying to uncover my connection with the world.
Just follow me, my friend.
Let's go, man.
Is he a good pilot?
Mom, man, he got glaucoma in both his eyes.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I love it when a plan comes together.
Let's hit it, baby.
Goddamn! Yeah. You was acting like a little fuckboy for a minute.
You want to shoot something, shoot this shit here.
Okay.
Now I got to feed my coke-addicted parrot.
Yeah, yeah, set him up.
Coca!
Yeah, do it again.
Poetry writer Moondog lives a hedonistic and pseudo-nomadic lifestyle in and around the Florida Keys while slowly working on his new book and enjoying life as a local legend, despite the common opinion that he is past his prime. His escapades are funded by his wealthy wife, Minnie, and to the disapproval of their soon-to-wed daughter, Heather, and his agent, Lewis. Moondog frequently flirts and cheats with several women he meets on his journeys, while Minnie is in a passionate affair with Moondog's friend and singer, Lingerie. There is so much going on in this film, and it hits you all at once. It can be dizzying when you first start the film, but it starts to even out. After arriving late to Heather's wedding in Miami, Moondog gropes the groom, Frank, in front of the audience. Later, during a talk about Moondog's crude behavior, Minnie confesses her affair to her daughter, which Moondog has no knowledge of. Meanwhile, Moondog and Lingerie smoke cannabis, and Lingerie shows Moondog a potent strain of cannabis endemic to an isolated pond in Jamaica, which he claims to be responsible for his success. Sort of reminds me of Cheech and Chong. Only there's a really odd neon aspect to this film. Well, it goes on, and after a while, Moondog bumps into an old friend and alleged Vietnam veteran dubbed Captain Whack, who offers Moondog an opportunity to co-captain dolphin tours around the Outer Keys. However, Wack decides to swim with the dolphins during a tour before realizing too late that they are, guess what, sharks, who sever his foot and put an end to Moondog and Wack's brief partnership. Now back in Miami, and wanted by the law, Moondog reconnects with Lingerie, who confesses to Moondog about his affair with Minnie, but claims Minnie truly loved Moondog. The revelations provoke little reaction from Moondog after Lingerie and Jimmy Buffett tell Moondog about a respective dream and experience the two had concerning cross-dressing to avoid detection. It goes on like this, and it's quite strange, and there's a lot of pot smoking, and there's a lot of dubage. And personally, for me, you know, I knew the guys that grew up down by the beach, and they were like Moondog. They weren't wealthy, per se, but I knew, you know, I saw these people when I was a youngster in high school, when I would go surfing, when I'd go to the beach, when I go down to the pier. They were there, and so I knew this type of person, and so it was kind of funny to me to see Matthew McConaughey play these kind of burnouts, and I think he did a pretty good job. There's parts where he wears like a gas mask that goes around his head, kind of like the guy from Mad Max, and instead of gas mask stuff, it's a bong on the end of it, so he can actually just smoke his bong while he's riding his skateboard or whatever he's doing. Really hilarious. I found that funny. So a lot of people will say this is not a good film to see. It's definitely not How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. It's out there. It's weird. This guy Harmony, he is kind of a spokesperson for Generation X. And, you know, he did Gummo, and he's done a few other things. And he does a good job, and he does a good job here, but I don't think it's a very universal movie, and a lot of people probably won't like it, but I personally think it's hilarious, so I think you should go, you know, if you haven't seen it, I don't know why you're listening, because this is a spoiler show, but you can let people know that I think it's funny, and they should go see it. Thank you for listening to Riley on Film. I'm your host, Damian Riley. You can find out more and subscribe always for free at RileyOnFilm.com. Now, have a great day.